Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise be to God. Oh. You know, worshiping the Lord is so wonderful. And you know, one of the things is because that's where we came from. We desire His presence. And the enemy puts all kinds of stuff in our way. Drugs, alcohol, lust, fame, success, all of these things that are desire of the world to try and look for the fulfillment of God's presence, because that's where we came from. And that's all we're trying to do is get home. Just trying to get home, that's it. Because we don't belong here. This is not our home. Amen? We live from we come from another place, man. But God has sent us here on a military mission. And that military mission is to declare the truth and rescue those who are blinded and deceived by the rule of this world, who is called Satan and his kingdom. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Glory to God. You know, I believe that something is going to happen tonight, especially in the area that we have many questions in our spirit that we don't even realize we have the questions there. And we are looking for answers. And so many times it may come up and then we just shrug it off, you know, but it's there. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to begin to just desire this question. You know, everyone is born with the question of who am I? Why am I here and where am I going? That is the standard question. But then there's areas of, you know, how did I end up like this? You know, when we get to in deeper things of the Spirit, God begins to reveal more things that are just extraordinary. And in this extraordinary experiences with the Lord, as you begin to walk with Him more and more, you realize that the more you know, the less you know. You realize that the more you know, man, He's really big. And you know, when you really look at the earth, it's nothing but a piece of lint compared to God. And, you know, why would He even create us? Well, He created us because He loves us. He wanted a family, and here we are. So God chose a family, and He chose me and you. Strange that it may be. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Would you read it with me? It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you. That word sanctify means set you apart. Sanctify you completely, or in other words, that you may be completed, that you may be perfected. And may your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Now listen, so we see that He acknowledges us as a triune being. We are made of a spirit, we are made of a soul, and we are made of a body. And one of the things that is dangerous is the failure to distinguish between the spirit and the soul is fatal. It is fatal to spiritual maturity. It is fatal if you cannot discern the difference between living out of the spirit or living out of the soul. That's why the soul needs regeneration. And we talked about this before. The moment the soul wills over to deception and darkness, possession begins. Possession of darkness begins. So what happens then is the soul is ceased. It's put on a hold from regeneration. Again, it is fatal as a believer to not distinguish between the difference between the soul and the spirit, because you will never reach your full maturity level that was predestined for you. Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? Now, before the fall of man, and this is where I want to go to, and to go to Genesis chapter 2. So before the fall of man, man was different than he is today. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This is fantastic. Because when you really see the depth of this, man became a living being, or what we call a living soul. The dust of creation that God created was for the body. The breath that he breathed into the man was his spirit. The combination of the body and the spirit together produced a soul. Is everybody with me? Together, man was granted existence as an independent being, expressing his individuality as a living soul with a body and a spirit. The perfect union of oneness of his, it was actually a spirit and a body manufactured a soul. So now man, God created man as an independent being with an individuality expressed through the soul. The soul is not the same as what you see it now. In fact, it was the soul that was in communion with God, because the spirit and the body were actually what you might say in the soul. Is everybody okay? The living soul was in communion with God because the living being is with body and spirit. The spirit controlled the whole being through the soul. So, in other words, the spirit was actually controlling the whole body, the whole being of itself, through the soul. Everything was through the soul, because the soul was the express of individuality. Remember, there was no sin, there was no division, there was no separation between spirit, soul, and body. It was one. So God Almighty set forth out of the dust, breathed in, gave him a spirit, and the body and the spirit produced a soul. Existence was established with individuality in another realm. Can everybody grab hold of that? And that individuality and that independence that was dependent on God but still had a free will of independence was in communion with God. Is everybody all right? Cool. All right, now let's go to verse 15. This is now after the fall. After the fall of man. Well, we're starting that, okay? So in verse 15, it says that the Lord God took the man and put him in what? In the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, right? So God took the man, the soul, the living soul, that living being on a living soul, and sanctified it. He separated it. He put it into a place where he can have communion with it and begin to express his character with this character, individuality that he created. In verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying what? Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? You shall surely die. So God sent this living soul, this living being, he sent him apart. This new independent being had a choice, had a will. He had the will to choose. Existence was able to express its individuality as a living soul, and it shall be maintained by eating of the tree of life. So he said, look it, you can eat of all of these trees. You're going to maintain your state of being as a living soul in communion with me in oneness, as long as you don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of it, you will die. Now, what in this area? Well, when Adam and Eve ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did they die instantly? No, not in the realm that we understand it. So we see here, he said, do not eat of this, right? Don't eat it. But everything else you can eat, the tree of the life, all of this you can eat, but do not eat of this tree, or you will die. We know that death causes separation, but there's something more to this than that. In Genesis 3, so after the fall, after they ate, they fell, and in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, it said that Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Here we see something specific, because she would now be the mother of the soul, because the spirit would no longer have lead, the soul would. So everybody got it? After the fall of Adam, because in this death, when the Lord said, you will die, what happened is his soul, the spirit of the man, was no longer in lead. In fact, it was comatized. Comatized. It was separated. It was put to sleep. It died. That's why when the Lord walked in the garden, what happened to Adam? He ran. Because his spirit was no longer in control, was it? What was in control? The soul. The spirit was now dormant. It was actually what you might call dead to God. Even though it still kept the man alive, but it was dead to God. So it ran. Why? Because it became afraid. So fear is an emotion, isn't it? And that's where the soul is. So now the soul was now lead. The spirit of the man was now slain by sin. And because it was slain by sin, it was what we call dead. So from that point on, the fall of man was no longer in lead in the spirit. It was in slavery by the soul of emotions, feelings, thought. Because the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Is everybody okay? So Eve was known as the mother of the soul now. That's what the word living means, right? When God created, wasn't the living being a living soul, right? But they were one. But even though they were an existence of a soul in this realm, they were still a triune being, but oneness. So now the spirit was now taken out of position, and the soul has now got authority. So now you look at the soul is entwined with the body. Everybody got it. The soul is now entwined with the body. The mother of the soul, after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, allowed the serpent to rule the soul and suppress the spirit of man into a coma. He was in a coma with God. Does everybody got it? That's why you need to be what? Born again. The spirit needs. He was born of the spirit. It caused division and separation of the spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is unable to commune with God until awakened again by the tree of life and drawn to God Almighty by the Holy Spirit, who brought life into the existence in the beginning when God created man. The spirit is associated with what we call God conscience. The soul recognizes self-conscience, and the body recognizes body conscience, worldly conscience. So the body is conscious of the world, the soul is conscious of itself, and the spirit is God conscience. So if the spirit man is dead, is there any more God conscience? No. That's why there must be a born-again state of being. Again, sin slayed the spirit of a man and stripped its authority. Pretty wild, isn't it? But this is what happened. And this is how Satan became the ruler of this earth then. And Jude 8, in Jude verse 18. Jude 18. And we'll start at verse 17. Jude 17. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Let's read it together. Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit. In other words, their spirit is no longer in authority. Because they still have a spirit, don't they? Amen? But they don't have the lead of the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? Because their spirit, man, is not awakened yet. It's in a coma. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read it together. But the natural man, now wait a minute. The natural man is called the soulish man. It is solidical life of man now. Solidical life. Why? Because it is because the soul is now governing. So everybody got it. This is how you and I are born. We are born in this realm with the soul. We are a living soul. We are a living being as a soul, but there is no communion with God. Is everybody okay? So it says here, but the natural man or the soul of man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Hello? For they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. You know what? You can talk to believers who still are soulish because they live out of the soul, not out of the spirit. They do not understand your language. See, the outer court of the three chambers of the tabernacle is still soulish. That's why there must be a regeneration. Again, when an individual wills their soul over to deception and darkness, possession begins. And when the soul is in lead, it suppresses the spirit. Even as a believer who's born again, if you allow your soul to stay in lead, it will suppress your spirit. That's why individuals run. That's why people backslide, because the spirit is no longer in lead. The soul is still in lead. The natural man is the soulish of man, or the soul of man. May be exceedingly intellect or intelligent, with great ideas and worldly wisdom, but can't consent to the things of the Spirit of God. Come on, grab hold of this. They may be religious and moral. They even be learned and strong and wise, but dead to God. This is living, what we call living in the flesh, because the soul is reigned by emotions. Go to Exodus 30. In Exodus 30 and verse, let's try 15. It says, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, or what that's called, your soul, when they were given an offering. So in the Old Testament, there was always atonement made for the soul, wasn't there? Because the soul was the one that was in lead. You can go to Leviticus 17 and 11 and Numbers 31 and 50. And all of these areas in the Old Testament, there was always atonement. They were sacrificing animals for the atonement of the soul. Make atonement for the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, because the soul has replaced the spirit in authority. Only when the soul can assume a humble position will it allow the spirit to manage the whole body, even as a born-again believer. Only when the soul becomes humble. So, would pride promote the soul? Yes. And the Bible says God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. And grace is God's plan of escape, isn't it? So the soul must come to an area of repentance and the humbling so that it will allow access for the Spirit to begin to reign. Even as a born-again believer. In fact, you know what? Before you and I can be born again, we have to come to a place of repentance and humbling, don't we? Then we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our spirit becomes awakened. Now the whole thing is to begin to strengthen our spirit man so that our spirit man overtakes our soul. So that we're not led in how we feel or what we think all the time. But we are led by truth and led by the Spirit all the days of our life. In Galatians chapter 5. Again, when the soul is not regenerated, it produces flesh. An unregenerated soul will manifest flesh. And when the spirit is not in authority, the soul and the body begin to entwine with one another, and that's called flesh. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, you know, when people get in an argument, that's all they're saying is, my flesh is stronger than yours. My flesh is bigger than your flesh. Oh, yeah, well, people try to cast out a devil out of each other when they're in the flesh. It don't work.
Oh, yeah, well, you got to come out, man.
Right. You can't do anything without being in the spirit. And then they go, oh, Lord, you saw what happened. Go get him. Yeah, lay him. Oh, Lord. You hear the Lord go, oh, die. Get out of the soul. Get in the spirit. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow me, will you? Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19, let's read it. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which means use of drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and everything like this, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa! So I'm a believer, but you're still practicing these things. There will no longer be an entrance to eternity granted. It will be shut. That's why Jesus said, come and learn from me. That's why he went to the disciples, and he didn't say, believe me. He said, follow me. Follow me. Because the word believe means to follow. So many people have this assumption that if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you are saved by grace. But you must first repent, because grace is God's plan. And then you're to follow. Far be it that you should wait till you have to die and give up your last, almost give up your last breath and say, oh Lord, forgive me, and make it home. What a wasted life. But thank God you made it home. But those who practice such things will not go home, even if you proclaim that you believe. Because if you believe, you follow. Again, these are called the works of the flesh, because the soul and the body are now entwined. It is the body of sin will take control. The person is unknowing that the body of sin is taking control over the soul. It becomes a slave. And the soul is where the area where it's called, because the soul is the self-conscience. So we see that when the soul, when the spirit is not in lead, you are selfish. When the spirit is not in lead, you are self-willed. When the spirit is not in lead, you are easily offended because you don't get your way. When the spirit is not in lead, the flesh is. This is what produces the sinful nature of man. In Romans chapter 8, soulitical life. Soulitical life means you are governed by the soul and not by the spirit. That's why the Lord says that he requires us to abide. So we are to abide in his presence. Again, please grab hold of this. Three areas that we are to abide in: his presence, his word and prayer, and fellowship. His presence, word and prayer, and fellowship. Listen. There are many people who can preach the word, teach the word, do all kinds of stuff, but their soul is still in lead because they're relying on their own strength and intellect. And the enemy is preventing them from being in the presence of God that is so needed to strengthen the spirit. See, because too much intellect, listen, revelation is a wonderful thing, but if it isn't led by the spirit, it will puff you up. Knowledge will puff you up. Revelation from God humbles you. When you are humbled, you worship. Has everybody got it? You worship. Why do you worship? Because you know that you are nothing without him. It doesn't matter how much intellect, knowledge, I don't care if you can remember the page numbers. So there are many believers who have a relationship with a book and not the person. Because you can only have relationship with God in spirit, because he is spirit. Is everybody okay? In Romans 8 and verse 12. So remember, the enemy will do everything he can from preventing you from being in God's presence. That's what he does, doesn't he? Why? Because when you're in God's presence and you are worshiping, you are drinking of the spirit. Abiding in his presence, in his word, in prayer, making connection. And abiding in fellowship. Any one of those that is broke, any one of these that is broke, will cause a lead of the soul. Has everybody got it? When these are broke for a period of time, it causes the leading of the soul. Because there's a battle between that soul and spirit, isn't there? There's a battle going on. You want to be led by how you feel. Where do you think fear comes from? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Fear is trying to always activate and lead the soul. And when you allow that to happen, when you will your soul over to fear, anxiety, stress, anxiousness, possession begins. And the next thing you know, you're seeing, dreaming, and all that. You're going in demon management instead of getting rid of them. Those are spirits that have accessed you. No, that's just how I am. That's not how my dad wanted to create you. I remember one time this woman was just irate. And she just rejected counsel, was just irate. Finally, we went up to her and said, listen, man, you know, she said, that's just how I am. You know, really? That's not how you are. That's what's in you. It's expressing itself through your soul. It's called a spirit. Romans 8, verse 12. Let's read it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you're living according to the flesh, the soul is in lead, isn't it? Actually, the soul is under submission now to the flesh. Verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will what? Wait a minute. Isn't that what the Lord told Eve? Listen, man, Adam, if you eat of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. So this person is living according to the world of the knowledge of good and evil. They are eating the... Look, the world can only feed you by the knowledge of good and evil. It can only produce good and evil. It cannot produce righteousness. Only the tree of life produces righteousness. That's why many people think, well, I'm a good person. I'll be okay. I mean, let me tell you something. There's not one unbeliever in hell. Everyone that's there now is a believer. But it's too late. They can't follow. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Oh, why? Because sin is in the body. You will what? You will live. For as many as are led by the what? Spirit of God. These are what? They are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy, because you're in relationship. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, when you are born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is saying, you're awakened now. Now, I'm going to be your witness on who you are because you're a new creation. The Holy Spirit is now your mentor. The Holy Spirit is now your nanny. The Holy Spirit is now everything to you and will guide you and teach you. He is the eternal presence and power of God Almighty called the anointing. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. What's this word if? When you see the word if, it means you must cooperate. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be what? Compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. In us. Because we are now born of the Spirit. We are no longer led by the soul. We have dominion over the soul. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the who? Sons of God. Even all of God's creation is waiting for me and you to rise up. For the creation itself was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know the whole world, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. Not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Woohoo! We are born of the Spirit. His Spirit bears witness to your spirit with conscious intuition and communion. I'm going to say that again. Your spirit now, the conscience of God, intuition, and communion from God. Too many believers are not willing to make that transition because of many long years of bondage of the soul. They're not willing to really give up or let go. And they can't be led by the Spirit because they're so emotionally attached. But there's a process to that. That's why we have emotional attachments. Cut those mogies off. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is why the world doesn't hear you. This is why believers backslide. The Bible says pride goes before a fall because the soul is taken lead. This is why people get in arguments. They want to prove whose flesh is bigger. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Would you read it with me? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. You are the temple. Verse 15, let's speak it. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now wait a minute. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. He doesn't mention soul there. Because in a born-again state of being, you are brought back to your original state. Is everybody okay? So your spirit is now in lead, isn't it? Not your soul. Woohoo! Spirit is authority. And it's expressing the character of Christ through your attitude, through your life, through your body, through your works and fruits. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, let's speak it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Whoa. So when we are in the fallen state, we were actually children of wrath. Because the grace of God brings the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Because if you can't escape the deception, well, then you still serve darkness, don't you? Then you're under the wrath of God. And I'm going to close in 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, we must maintain regeneration of the soul, must maintain a humble state, and be willing to maintain the three areas of abiding. Because you know what? You know when your spirit is no longer in lead. You know. The first thing you'll sense is anger. You'll begin to look at people differently. You'll begin to think differently. You'll have words that come to your thoughts that you normally don't because there's not dominion there. See, all of this is in the soul. You'll go by how you feel. You'll compare yourself to everyone else. You just need to compare yourself to Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then you're going to shoot off at the mouth and feel like an idiot. Verse 2, 2 Peter. Let me go there. Chapter 1, verse 2, let's speak it. But grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now that divine power is called the anointing. Eternal presence, power, and truth. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if you're not walking in the anointing, are you going to be an overcomer? No. You'll always be taken by how you feel. Circumstances in your life will redirect you. Instead of you going through them, they'll cause you to go into another direction. But you don't know what happened to me. So what? Cut it loose and go forward. You know, especially with the enemy, he's always attacking you from the memories of the past. And now more than ever, you know, the battle is increasing. We have to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been. As His divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature. That's where the Spirit is in lead. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge what? Self-control, or control over self, which means control over the soul. To self-control, perseverance. See, you can't persevere. You can't endure when the soul is over the spirit. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even to blindness. In other words, there is that spirit of veil. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never. I like that. You will never stumble. In other words, your soul will never have dominion over you. Verse 11. For so an entrance will be what? Supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, will I not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So again, in this area, we must maintain the abiding presence, power, and His word and prayer, and fellowship. We must be able to discern. Again, too many individuals are not discerning between the soul and spirit. And I'm telling you, people will die thinking that they're hearing from God. Yes, I know the Lord told me. And it wasn't God that told them. It was a desire of the soul. See, people who live out of the soul are the most dangerous people. Because you'll never know what they're going to do next. Because they live by how they feel. They speak by how they feel. They judge by how they feel instead of truth. But there is a way of escape. Severing the emotional attachments and going through the process of deliverance, healing, and maintaining the abiding. Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge understood is truth. Knowledge not understood is not truth. Knowledge understood is truth. Knowledge not understood is not truth. I know people have, I've read the Bible 3 and 4 times. Whoa. And you're still going to hell. God desires relationship. That's where David always says, I see always the Lord before me. See, when the Lord is always before you in whatever you do, there's relationship. You know, the word says, when two or more gather together, the Lord's in the midst. I think if Jesus showed up, people would worship more. But see, he's there. He's actually here. It says he comes and worships with us. The angels come and worship with us. But because the soul is in lead and not the spirit, they can't discern it. It's only when the spirit is in lead that you're in communion with the Spirit of God. Other than that, you do all kinds of goofy things, thinking Jesus ain't there. But he is. And he has a book of remembrance, I just want to remind you. There is a way. It's his way. So I want to encourage you. Learn so you don't get burned. And continue to abide. Don't give up. And begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit to show you. And begin to cut these things loose. Don't live from the past, live from the future. That's living in the Spirit. There is so much more for us. That's why we're still learning, aren't we? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word, and I want to thank everyone for listening to this message. And you know, you can go to the Eternal Library and get abundance of messages from the Spirit. So tune into it. It's awesome. Lord, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and we want to thank you for your word. Let the seed of your word that was imparted in us be protected by the blood of the Lamb and grow and bear fruit for your glory, that your people will see and hear and receive what the Spirit says in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.